You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
We welcome you in to a Friday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM, a pre-Father's Day edition of the program here today. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side, and Ryan today, as we spin the wheel of producers. It is Ryan on the other side of the glass today, fully regaled in all this KGYM gear. Good to see that over there. Taking pride in the station here today. And we got a good show coming up for you. Lots to get to. We'll get to the second round of the United States Open. Are they burning up the course at LACC today? We'll talk about that. Take a look at the weekend coming up. And maybe the start of the deck chairs being rearranged as far as conference realignment is concerned, maybe the first domino falling today. And then our Friday topic, we are going to talk about sports memorabilia that you have, maybe that you have, that you would like to get perhaps, I don't know. However it works out. We're going to talk about that with you here on the program today. 319-366-1600 is a text line. That is a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, again, that is 319-366-1600 here on a Friday edition of the program, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented each and every day by DUPACO Community Credit Union, celebrating their 75th year. Check them out online at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. Mark joins me on a Friday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Scott. Hi, Ryan. Hello, out there, everyone. And also have, what is a jam-packed Emo's Hideaway scoreboard at some point in the show towards the bottom of the hour. But looking forward to diving in today, Scott.
Got your are those piped in birds behind you?
They are not Masters birds.
Okay.
They are actually birds.
All right. Just wondering, because you know that has been known to happen on CBS before. I'm not saying it does now. Just it has happened before. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well. Before we get too far into it, really sad note yesterday, actually last night. I know the news broke late yesterday afternoon. Our colleague Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette had this last night as well. Kind of knew that this was imminent, but unfortunately took place last night. If you are a fan of high school sports in the state of Iowa, especially girls competitions, you know of Lisa Brinkmeyer. And Lisa Brinkmeyer, one of the directors of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union for the last handful of years, she lost her battle with cancer yesterday. And she is going to be so, so missed, not only by everybody, high school athletes, especially, like we said, female athletes around the state, but everybody at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. A nicer lady you will never find, and has left us way, way too early in her late 40s. Has been battling a form of brain cancer the last couple of years and lost that battle yesterday. If you remember, Lisa was the star of the final 6-on-6 state championship team at Hubbard-Radcliffe, the Hubbard-Radcliffe Rebels. They are now part of the South Hardin school system and went on after Hubbard-Radcliffe to play a big role for the Drake Bulldogs, and then went on, as I mentioned, to the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union, member of its board of directors. And we lost Lisa yesterday, and it's going to be very different not seeing her at state volleyball, especially at the state basketball tournament, any of the state tournaments, Mark. And our condolences to her family. She has obviously at a very young age leaving us a family, and then, of course, everybody over in Des Moines at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union also mourning her passing today.
Yeah, definitely, Scott. And I did not know Lisa, but very familiar with her career. She was on the fast track, I think, with the union. She is a very important member of that organization. And 48 years old, man, that's very tough. It's tough at any age, but 48. And I do remember her playing in that 6-on-6 championship game. And then played for Lisa Bluter at Drake.
Yep.
And later was an assistant coach there before moving on to the union. So, yeah, tough news for everybody involved in ladies high school sports.
I know they're going to have a celebration of life. I believe that's going to be at the middle school at South Hardin. I'm not sure if that's in Hubbard or Radcliffe or if it's in Eldora. Not sure exactly where it's at. 8186 said Hubbard Radcliffe was in our conference growing up. She was an amazing player, lived about 15 miles north of where I grew up. Yeah, she was an amazing player and an even better person. So our condolences going out to, again, the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union and the Brinkmeyer family as well. 319-366-1600. Off to brighter news here, Mark. Let's get to the second round of the U.S. Open. Currently ongoing at L.A. Country Club. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele are not going to tee off for a little bit of time yet. I think they come up here in about 10, 15 minutes or so. Scoring not as low today after a Thursday that saw the average score at 71.3. I think 71.38, which was the lowest scoring round in United States Open golf history yesterday. Lots of people making their feelings known, and most of them saying, what the heck happened yesterday? But pins are tucked a little bit more. It's not quite the marine layer that they had yesterday. And there are a few rounds. In fact, Sahith Theegala just put a capper on a 66 today. But right now, Wyndham Clark is your leader at 9-under par as he plays his final hole of the day. Here, Mark, you know, one-stroke lead over Fowler, Schauffele, Harris English in there in fourth, Rory McIlroy alone in fifth at 6-under par, and then a big group, which has Dustin Johnson in it, as well as Minwoo Lee, and some guy named Brian Harman. That goes out to one of our great listeners who gets on me because I picked Brian Harman to do well in the PGA. He did not. He's making up for it here in the U.S. Open, though.
Yeah, he's playing very well, and I think the round of the day probably by Harris English, a 66. You mentioned Theegala matching that. Clark at 3-under through 17 holes. And it's going to be very interesting to see what Fowler and Schauffele do today. Will they further distance themselves from the field? Or will they kind of just, you know, be around even par, maybe 1-under, something like that? You look at Rory McIlroy, he's right in the thick of things. Dustin Johnson, and the interesting name on the board to me, tied for sixth, Sam Bennett, who recently turned pro. He's out of Texas A&M, former U.S. amateur champion, and he has played as steady as anybody. Not saying he's going to win it, but it's one of those names that pop up during the U.S. Open, and He's playing very well, so we'll see what happens this afternoon.
He's a USGA course guy, apparently. He's the reigning U.S. amateur champion. Got in because he is the amateur champion. Now, you mentioned, Mark, he did turn pro, and in the past, the USGA, once you turned pro, did not honor the fact that you were the U.S. reigning U.S. amateur champion. You had to qualify. They changed that rule this year, so Sam Bennett is in, and like you said, doing very, very well, the player out of Texas and Texas A&M. Right now, low 60 in ties is the cut line. Believe it or not, plus one gets you in right now. The cut is plus two, and that is amazingly unheard of in U.S. Open golf history.
Yeah, but I think by the end of the day, it's going to be two or three over. And Phil Mickelson certainly hopes it's three over, because that's where he ended his day. But that would be a very high cut line for the U.S. Open Championship.
Hugely high or low, I guess it would be, depending on how you look at it. Golf continues to be played very, very well. And as I mentioned, the pins are a little bit easier today. There was a lot of scrutiny yesterday, as I talked about earlier, about how – can I put in air quotes – easy? How easy the course – it is still a very difficult golf course. Everything – it was a perfect storm yesterday as far as all of the aspects coming together to have a day – where it was going to be good scoring. By the way, we mentioned the other day on Wednesday, and I know a lot of people had fun with this, the Playboy Mansion is outside the 14th tee. Also learned today that a home once owned by Lionel Richie is also alongside this golf course, Mark.
Well, this is a pretty wealthy part of L.A., so I'm not surprised that that is a fact, and I'm sure there are many others in the neighborhood, Wilshire Boulevard and elsewhere. We should mention our Iowa angle, Alex Shockey, who qualified in an eight-hole playoff. He is currently playing his second round. He's a respectable three over par through 13 holes on his day. After shooting 77 yesterday, he will not make the cut, but he's just, I think, probably just enjoying the last few holes of this U.S. Open.
And why not? And why not? And, we're going to, I think, well, Brian didn't promise, but Brian is going to make a call. And I think next Caddy Smack, we're going to have Alex Shockey on to talk about his U.S. Open experience. The goal is to make the weekend. That was the, you know, Brian told us Wednesday. And if you missed that program, go back and listen to the podcast, kgymradio.com. He said he had no goals going in. Now, you got to think in the back of your mind, okay, just get to Saturday. Just get to Saturday. Not going to happen for Alex this year, but still, he got some airtime last night in primetime on NBC. That was nice to see.
He did indeed, because he was one of the last finishers, but it showed him winning that eight-hole playoff and showed a shot he hit on, I believe, one of the par threes. So he's got that going for him anyway.
You can always have that. Little bit of NBC stardom there for Alex. 319-366-1600 at 318. And we'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open. We're going to get to our Friday topic coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and we're going to talk about sports memorabilia that you have, maybe sports memorabilia that you would like to get. And 96.63 leading us in, Mark, to our topic to talk about before we get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update. And they say, just heard San Diego State left a conference. What's in the Pac-12? The first domino, I think, is just about ready to fall, Mark, as San Diego State today went to the Mountain West Conference. They have been a charter member since 1999 of the Mountain West, and told them that they are going to petition to leave the conference, whether that be to the Pac-12. We don't know exactly what the Big 12's plans are at this present time. We don't know what the Big 10's plans are at this time. But I've got a sneaking suspicion, Mark, we're going to be talking a lot about two things in the next month or so. That would be media rights for the Pac-12, for the ACC, and we're also going to be talking about college expansion once again.
Yeah, very interesting, I think, because San Diego State has been, as you mentioned, a charter member of the Mountain West since it was formed, and its president filed a written notice with the conference with the intent to withdraw from the league and wanted a one-month extension from the deadline, trying to save a little bit of exit fee money. But the Pac-12 makes perfect sense. The problem with it is no media rights deal. And I think that's got to be a big consideration for San Diego State or anybody else considering the Pac-12.
Well, they are ripe to leave now. USC and UCLA are going to go to the Big Ten next year. One more year in the Pacific 12 Conference for those particular schools. You've got San Diego State coming off a terrific run in the NCAA basketball tournament. You've got San Diego State football, which has always been very relevant. I believe three conference championships in the Mountain West. They have a brand new facility now since they blew up Jack Murphy Stadium a couple years ago. Now they have a brand new facility. So the timing is right for the Aztecs to make their move. And, well, quite frankly, they would fit in very well, I think, in the Pac-12. But like you said, it's all going to come down to media rights. Nobody knows what the Pac-12 is going to do right now. They're even talking about, streaming platforms. I mean, the Big Ten has a streaming platform, yes, but they're talking about mainstream. Their number one contract possibly being with streaming services. I'm not sure in 2023... college landscape, the world is ready for that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But the Pac-12 is still searching for something. Obviously, they're not going to have anything quite as lucrative as the Big Ten or the SEC, but they want to have something that they can show their constituents and hang their hat on.
Yeah, I think it's a mess right now for the Pac-12. But I agree with you. I think this could very well set off another set of movement towards conference expansion, realignment, what have you. San Diego State's a good, solid athletic program. Its football team has been traditionally very good. Basketball has made some runs, has been pretty good generally. Its baseball team is traditionally very good as well. And it's a diverse program. I think, beach volleyball or sand volleyball, whatever, always strong in volleyball out there. So I think it's a good, solid program. Not one of the elite, but a good, solid program.
I would agree. What do you think? Is this setting off a new wave of expansion and movement? Realignment in college athletics, 319-366-1600, text line and the phone line as well, 319-366-1600. And we will get to our topic. Matt beat everybody. He's got the first answer as far as our topic is concerned, and we will get to that coming up here in just a little bit. I know the Big Ten, Mark, is not – you can bet your bottom dollar, ha, 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 that the Big Ten is not done looking into possible expansion. They want a couple of playing partners with USC and UCLA. The Big 12 What are they going to do? There's talks, of course, over the last month or so that the Colorado Buffaloes, the University of Colorado, is looking at getting into the Big 12, back into the Big 12 after leaving a couple of decades ago. Who knows what everything is going to look like? I am a little bit leery if you're a Utah right now. How about Boise State? How about Nevada? Steve Alford and the Wolfpack out there. I think they're going to be a little bit on edge. Utah State as well, which has had a pretty good program, basketball and football. In fact, they're going to be at Kinnick coming up to start the season this year in 2023. There's just a lot of question marks out there right now across that landscape.
Well, there certainly is, and there has been. I'm curious what's the best fit for Colorado? What's the best fit for San Diego State?
San Diego State, 84-91 weighing in. Solid program, but a Pac-12 Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I think maybe 5 years ago, but I don't know. I think it's a solid program. I mean, it's a metropolitan area in San Diego. Had a great run in men's basketball. It can stand with the Pac-12 teams in football. Not saying it's going to win Pac-12 championships, but now without USC and UCLA, it certainly can. It can play with anybody out there in the Pac-12. I'm not sure it's a Band-Aid. Nevada, yeah, I can see that as a Band-Aid. No offense, Steve Alford, and everybody associated with the Wolfpack, but I'd see that more as a Band-Aid, temporary Band-Aid, than San Diego State.
I think I'd agree with you on that. And then there's Colorado. What about the Buffaloes?
What about Boise State? Did Boise State miss their window of opportunity? I think they did. I think they did. Because they were ready to go. The Boise State football team, once the Cinderella of all things, you know, mid-major in football, when they were going with the Statue of Liberties and the marriage proposals after touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. Looking back on it, if you had a second chance, if you're Boise State, I think you strike while the iron is hot, right?
Yeah, but the climate wasn't as it is right now. I don't think. I can't recall what kind of opportunities that Boise State might have had at the time. Like I said, the climate's different now.
It is. But it's going to change, and it's going to be fueled by the media rights. I mean, let's face it. There's I don't know what the monetary figures are, Mark, but there are about whatever it is in millions, reasons why USC and UCLA are going to be playing the likes of Indiana, Penn State, and Michigan State next year.
Well, no doubt about it. All you have to do is look at what the Big Ten has negotiated and where the Pac-12 is right now. So, yeah, that's going to happen next year.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in with a little bit more on that subject here at 328. But as Mark mentioned, we got a lot to get to on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. And they are next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock, not open on Sunday, on Father's Day. And stop on by and enjoy the patio out there. Say hi to Jamie and Chris and everybody out there as well from all of us here at KGYM.
One afternoon game in the major leagues today. The Cubs are hammering your Orioles. 9-2, Scott. I don't know what to make of that, but a good game for the Cubs going on right now. Sam LaPorta, the former Iowa star, has signed his rookie deal with the Detroit Lions. It's worth $9.4 million. Not bad for a 22-year-old. $3.8 million signing bonus. Iowa Wrestling picked up a couple of very high-profile wrestling recruits out of North Dakota State. Jared Franick, 157-pounder, and Michael Caliendo, 165-pounder. Both were All-Americans last year, as Franick finished fourth and Caliendo seventh in their respective weight classes. It's going to be interesting. Iowa already returns Seabrook and Kennedy at those two weights.
Maybe a little bit of juggling in the lineup, perhaps. Perhaps. We'll see.
Could be. Kennedy just coming off a gold medal performance over in France, I believe it was. It's going to be a very interesting and deep lineup for Iowa.
It will be. It will be. Ricky Fowler getting ready to tee off. Resplendent today in a red, white, and blue shirt. Looking good out there is Ricky. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 331, and we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to dive into our Friday topic. We're going to talk about sports memorabilia. What's the biggest piece of memorabilia that you have, or maybe that you would like to acquire if you had the resources to do so, or maybe you're not a memorabilia guy? We can talk about all that, and we'll do it when we return here on The Gym Class, coming your way on a Friday, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on The Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a sunny and still hazy day today. Temperatures are going to be held toward 80 degrees. Humidity will be on the low side. As we head into tonight, we'll have partly cloudy skies and temperatures drop into the mid-50s. Tomorrow will be sunny. Temperatures will climb into the mid-80s, and there will be the chance for a few scattered showers and storms late Saturday night into early Sunday. Very hit or miss. Not everyone will see the rain, and then we'll have a passing cloud Sunday with temperatures in the mid-80s. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and The Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get ready for Fairfax USA Days, June 23rd and 24th. Come for the Friday night street dance with Airwaves Band. And Saturday, free kids activities, live music, freedom parade, hero breakfast, and one of the best fireworks displays at dusk. There will be lots of fun for your whole family.
Details at KGYM Radio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Watch your money grow with a special CD deal right now at Fairfax State Savings Bank. With special spring CD rates this month, your money can earn up to 5% annual percentage yield for a term of 7 months. No weeding, no fertilizer, just more green in your future. Fairfax State Savings Bank has other special CD terms available now too. So find your perfect money match at thebankhere.com. $1,000 minimum to open. Limited time offer. Member FDIC.
OCC! OCC!
Want to recycle right? Remember OCC. Only clean cardboard. Get rid of any styrofoam or plastic wrap and make sure the box is empty before recycling. Cardboard with garbage still attached does not get recycled and could even get the good cardboard around it thrown away. The Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency reminds you to recycle right and remember.
OCC!
Only clean cardboard. Find all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Protect your cargo with our selection of hitches, ratchet straps, and everything in between. We've got what you need to get your cargo there safely. The TowSmart Tri-Ball Trailer Hitch has three different hitch ball sizes and is just $29.99 after 11% rebate now at Menards. Good through June 18th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right theirs with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and get involved with it.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaw's have the tools to DIY all day long. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $129 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Make the most of your land with a good clean deal from City Tractor. Visit us at citytractor.com.
Back on the Gym Class here at KGYM. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday edition of the program. Hope everyone's got some good plans out there for the Father's Day weekend, and have a good one out there. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Todd Brommel Camp Show next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. We've got baseball this weekend from ESPN. It is Yankees-Boston weekend. Saturday night at 5:30, Red Sox-Yankees going at it. And then Sunday night baseball as well, beginning at 5 o'clock. And then from historic Road America up in the great state of Wisconsin, it'll be the Grand Prix of Road America on the NTT IndyCar Series. We'll have that at 12 noon for you coming up on Sunday right here on KGYM. Going to talk, Mark, about our Friday topic now, and it deals with a subject I think that always brings a smile to everyone's face when you talk about it, and that is sports memorabilia, correct?
Correct. And just a warning, Scott, perhaps you saw it on my Twitter feed advancing the show. I invited Spencer Wagon in.
Okay. Well, we always enjoy having Spencer with us.
He's a big memorabilia guy. He won't, but just a warning.
Okay. Well, hey, the more the merrier, man. Bring it on. We like it. 319-366-1600 here. Memorabilia that you have, you like to have, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're not a memorabilia guy. Maybe you're a photograph picture guy or a gal. Or you collect autographs. Maybe that's your thing out there. I don't know.
Well, the first one I got is actually on Twitter. A listener, Jim, who can't call in, but you remember the picture of Chris Street on the left, Tom Davis on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Street with a wide-open mouth laugh and Tom Davis smiling. Jim said, "This poster will be with me forever."
Hey, that's a good one. That is a good one. And I know a lot of people have that. That seems to be the iconic photo. Jim says right there, perfect. He just sent a picture of it down the line with Tom Davis with that grin, Chris Street just laughing off to Tom's right. That photo used a lot during the Chris Street documentary that the Big Ten Network had on during the basketball season. Matt in Fairfax, this is a sad, sad text here. It says, memorabilia, sadly I lost 90% of my stuff in the flood years ago. He had a signed Ryan Sandberg jersey and a Ron Santo rookie card. Met both gentlemen. I think you're probably not alone.
Yeah, sadly, I think, Matt, you're not alone. Really too bad that you lost those possessions, among others.
Maybe baseball cards, football cards, that's another piece of memorabilia that a lot of people have out there. And I must admit, I collected when I was a youngster, even into my 20s a little bit. And then I just, once family came on, I kind of lost, and it's not I lost interest in it, just did not have time and needed the money to go in a different direction at that point. But do have an Ozzie Smith rookie card. That is my holy grail of baseball cards.
Yeah, I think me, like you, in our youth, we collected baseball cards. I still have boxes of many of them common cards from the 70s and 80s, and I've separated some of my more valuable cards out, but what am I going to do with them?
If anyone would like 24 or so Greg Jeffries cards, I have a guy. It's me.
You know what? What am I going to do with them? The market is saturated. I haven't looked at them in a number of years. And I think for me, as I've grown older, it doesn't mean so much to me anymore. When in my youth, I loved the Miller six pack.
Mm-hmm.
I went to, you remember the old university versus college all-star games at the end of the year?
Oh, yes.
Where their Iowa State Drake players played Upper Iowa and Jim Buschkowski and whatever. Well, John Johnson played in that game, and I got his autograph. I was 13 or 14, and later that summer, some of the guys were playing a celebrity softball game, and Chad Calabria signed my glove. My point, I don't know where those things are now. I have no idea.
Chad Calabria, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
I thought it was a big deal at the time.
It was.
The gloves are long gone. I don't know what happened to the John Johnson autograph. But I guess at the time, it meant a lot. I savored it. But as time goes on, not so much. I think more, and this is going to sound self-serving, but my most prized sports memorabilia is the plaque I got for a hole-in-one, the plaque I got for a 300 game in bowling. You know, those hang on my wall today. And some of the awards I got as a sports writer, so I don't know. Maybe I'm different. Maybe, I think there's plenty of adults, 40, 50, 60, are still into it.
Yeah.
Get autographs from 18-year-olds and whatnot. So be it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Justin, unfortunately, another sad text here. Said his set of cards worth about $4,000, all lost in the wall collapse back in 93. In the basement. Man, we're drudging up bad memories here for everybody out there. Man, that's not good. Spencer's here with us.
Did I come in at a bad time? Is this like...
No, you can't. You're fine. It's just a situation. The flood, and it's apropos, I guess it's 15 years ago this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you got Matt saying, well, I had this and this, but lost it in the flood. Justin had this. Lost it in the flood. And like we said, unfortunately, that is kind of, that's a sad story, but one that a lot of people around here went through.
Yeah, true. I don't have any stories like that, thankfully. I know you, the reason I'm here, you guys were talking about sports memorabilia, correct?
Correct.
For Friday Topic. So
yes.
As the... host of the occasional Collector's Corner on Spencer and
Sports. And we're not taking away from the Collector's Corner.
I did not believe that you believe that you were.
Would you like some Greg Jeffries cards?
No, I'm good. I figured I should weigh in on this topic. And I honestly, I feel like I have to punt. Punting is winning, so I will punt on this answer. But valued sports, I'm just going to go with my card collection as a whole.
Okay.
Because So I think I've told this story before. I had a number of things that I would consider my prized possessions, and I sold them in college because I needed money. And I wish I had not. And some of those things included a Michael Jordan autograph.
Oh.
And I could have probably gotten a lot more for that, but I needed the cash at the time and kind of just said, here, take it. And now that I think back on it, wish I had not. I've built up a good number of pieces since then, but I compare some of the stuff I have now and compare what I had, and I'm like, I kind of wish I had that back.
But I think cards are the thing here, and Justin saying that his favorite was a hologram card of Deion Sanders in a Braves uniform that if you had the angle and moved it, it transformed into him wearing his Falcons uniform.
Oh, yeah, those are cool, yeah.
Yeah, and a rare
Spencer,
limited...
What, Spencer,
go ahead.
What got you started in collecting?
Oh, gosh. Probably like 9 or 10. So that was like the year 2000. I've been collecting since that. I took a break in college just because I, you know, was like I didn't have money to, you know, dad wasn't around to take me to the local card store when I was in college. But I'd say like 2000-ish. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. Couple more here. Our friend Scott, the 2005 Chicago White Sox World Championship watch. I would hold on to that because I don't think that's going to be replicated this year. did win a game from the Dodgers. Gave a game away last night. 52-32. Not a sad story. Just got my Kirby Puckett autographed jersey from my childhood bedroom from my parents' house. Just have to figure out where to put it at my current house. The only prized autograph possession I own. Maybe autographs are out now. I don't know.
No, they're still pretty.
Okay.
They're still pretty valuable. It depends on what you got. You got to get it authenticated, too. There's a lot of fakes out there. So having things that are certified by any of the reputable certification companies out there is big. So
you go eBay a lot, Spencer, or not?
Yes and no. eBay, they call it FeeBay for a reason. Because they charge, I think it's 10%, I want to say. This is for sellers. 10%, and then PayPal takes a cut, which is the preferred way to link up the money and stuff. And it's, yeah.
They're in business.
Yeah, they are. They have to make money. They're a company. That's their goal. So.
They're in business. Barry Bonds rookie card. Had a collection for sure. Yeah, that's a good one.
87 Tops Barry Bonds. I don't have that one.
I don't either. I have the Ozzie Smith. That's my claim to fame right there. Talk about memorabilia today.
Spencer, I'm going to talk over your head here, but I've got some. Maybe Scott will remember this or not. I don't know. On the old Wheaties boxes.
Oh, yeah.
They used to have. What was it? 6 or 8 cards, Scott?
Yep.
Baseball cards. And I've got, you know, Yogi Berra. They're not in good shape because I wasn't thinking smartly at the time. But you'd cut them out, put them in your collection, and they're actually pretty cool to look at.
It was on the back of the box in the cardboard.
The one that I think, maybe some if there's listeners out there that have kids, kind of kids, you know, maybe my age, which I'm in my lower 30s now, but Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Yep.
They had card sets in there dating all the way back to when I think the magazine came out. And there are some good ones in there. If you know the issue and can find it maybe at a garage sale, or I don't know if a local library has a sale of old magazines and such, you know what you're looking for, and the cards are still intact in the magazine. Those are worth some money if you get the right player. I know Tiger Woods had his rookie card in there. Tom Brady's had stuff. Caitlin Clark has had one in there, which if you go on eBay and type in Caitlin Clark, she's finally getting cards, like real cards, now, and they're going for exorbitant amounts of money. But she had, for the longest time, her only true card was a Sports Illustrated for Kids card, and people were trying to find the magazine, and then they cut it out, and so it was
a whole thing.
It is, and then those are going for good money still.
Yeah, talking about memorabilia today. 319-366-1600. What is tops in your collection? Maybe you don't collect baseball cards, football cards, autographs. What do you collect out there? I have programs. I have a lot of programs.
I miss programs. I was talking to someone the other day. I just don't like how everything's digital.
Yeah.
Call me an old dude.
You're not an old dude.
I miss like being able to buy a program or get a program even at like a Colonels game, because then you can look back on the program and, hey, I saw so-and-so play for whatever team.
Emil Dursaich.
Yeah. remember a few guys.
Why we are remembering guys. Yeah, you know. We're really infringing on you now.
That's all right.
Mark remembers Emil Dursaich.
Yeah, he's a great guy, him and his wife. Good first baseman. I don't think probably made it above double A, but he's a very likable guy, solid baseball player.
He was. I thought he was going to be a major leaguer. He really was good here in Cedar Rapids.
Left-handed hitter, yep.
Back in the day, just never did it. 319-366-1600 here at 349 as we talk about memorabilia with you today and what you have as far as your collection at home. 3790 says a Red Sox visor signed by Yaz after I bought several players at Minneapolis hotels drinks.
Oh my God. Hey, whatever to get the autograph, right?
Whatever you got to do, man. I had a Vinny Jones Southampton card, but my roommate's dog ate it.
Man.
Sorry, 2271.
Dog ate your baseball card, not your homework.
Wow. That's worse.
I would think so, yeah.
That is definitely worse. A 6882 says we have a signed photo of Charlie Jones's diving catch against Minnesota a couple years ago. Not worth a ton, but my son is a big Charlie fan.
Okay.
Very nice going into Father's Day weekend. Very nice. Is he going to be in the NFL?
Where did he sign with? Browns? No, that's David Bell.
That's David Bell. I'd have to look. Maybe Mark will beat me to it. I don't know. 319-366-1600 as we talk about memorabilia.
Bengals.
He's a Bengal.
Joe Burrow to Charlie Jones.
Oh, great. That'll be awesome. Oh, man. As he scores a winning touchdown against the Chiefs at one point this year.
Well, and that's Jamar Chase.
Yeah, well, it could be anybody with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I want to ask both you guys, maybe our listeners, do you collect because you just like certain pieces, whether it be cards or whatever, or do you hope to get rich off them?
For me, I just collect it because I want to have. I don't have a ton. As I said, I have some programs. Probably I've got a signed basketball by the UNI Sweet 16 team.
Oh, nice.
That's and some Robert Gallery stuff.
There you go.
At a auction that I bid on it and you ended won.
Oh, hey, that's mine now.
He has very big hands, by the way.
for me, I'm never. I don't think I'll ever get rich with what I have, but I do sales on for part of it, the stuff I don't want. And then the rest is just staying with me. And will eventually probably get sold by my future children when I'm long gone, but yes.
Before we get to a break, some text rolling in here. My grandfather's 1932 World Series souvenir bat from Game 3 at Wrigley Field. It was the Babe Ruth cold shot game. Pretty special.
Oh.
Yeah. You win.
Never part with that.
1307 wins so far today. Beats the Brett Favre rookie card, but a good one as well, 7706 says.
Brett Favre rookie card?
Brett Favre rookie card.
I've got one of those. I don't have too many, but.
7137 says, if I remember correctly, I have a Patrick Mahomes rookie card somewhere in my house. Please find it.
Find it. Get it graded, depending on what it is.
By the way, the Chiefs had a fine ring ceremony last night.
Amir Smith Marset was live on Instagram last night revealing his ring.
That thing is pretty amazing. They get more amazing every year depending, I mean, no matter what team you are. Mm-hmm. They just get crazy. 8491 says in response to your question, Mark, just enjoy having something from my favorite teams or players, not getting rich on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons. I've got a really short story about a longtime friend of mine who it was his goal to get every Nolan Ryan card. But aside from that, he aspired to get every Jay Novacek card.
Jay and Novacek?
Jay Novacek.
Big Tennessee Volunteer fan?
apparently, Novacek has some ties in Iowa, which my friend he knew them, and for whatever reason, and there's reasons to collect all over the place, that's what he aspired to do, and I don't know whether he completed that goal or not.
Hmm. Interesting. I got a couple here we'll get to, but we need to get to one final break here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. So stick with us as we talk about your memorabilia that you have lying around or framed front and center in your home. And we'll have more for you after this here on KGYM.
Hello, it is I, your J.B. Welch strength coach. It's time to flex those home repair muscles. If you've got a drippy pipe, busted lawn equipment, rotten wood, or a weekend project, J.B. Welch gives you the brawn and bravado to get it done. Our epoxy, super glues, putty sticks, and wraps create a permanent bond on metal, wood, plastic, glass, and more. So get your hands on some J.B. Welch and be your strongest self. Learn more at jbwelch.com.
J.B. Welch, world's strongest bond.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico.
Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Susan and Jake found a Cape Cod style home where they will only speak French.
Bonjour, je t'aime, merci beaucoup, and cordon bleu.
You'll get better with time.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up. 3:55 here on the program today. Monday back at 3 o'clock. We'll go over the weekend that was in the world of sports. Ricky Fowler is birdie number one. It's a par five. Most everybody has birdied it. So he has tied Wyndham Clark at minus nine. And Xander Schauffele has just hit his first tee ball of his second round. And he has hit it into the rough to the left side. On number one. So right now it is Fowler and Clark up at minus nine, Schauffele minus eight. McIlroy playing his final hole. He's got it to seven under, tied Harris English. Dustin Johnson is at six. Do not forget about Brooks Koepka. He's got it to one under, Mark.
Yeah, it's going to be a super interesting weekend and interesting afternoon, really, as these players try to chase down Fowler and Clark and Schauffele and others.
Yeah. A couple more here. 28-46, a huge Chiefs fan, but my uncle was working for the Packers, so went to a preseason game in Milwaukee. And at the old Pfister Hotel, met Ray Nitschke and got an autograph on a bar napkin that says, "Hit him hard, Ray Nitschke." Pretty cool stuff. And our friend Corey has a golf ball signed by Trace Atkins. My son got a golf ball signed by Kevin Sutherland at the John Deere Classic back in the day. There you go. 319-366-1600. Walter Payton rookie card for you, Mark, says 0485. And autographed tire from a Bill Elliott race car. Yes, race fans collect memorabilia like that if they so choose to do that. But again, thanks to everybody for weighing in. Do appreciate it, and we always have a good time heading off to the weekend on these Fridays. And Mark will be back. We'll have a U.S. Open champion, I would imagine, when we reconvene on Monday. We'll discuss that, and maybe we've got conference expansion to talk about on Monday as well.
Look forward to it. Thanks again to Spencer for weighing in. Add a nice piece to the show. But, yeah, we'll talk on Monday.
Yep, have a great weekend. Have a great Father's Day weekend, everybody. Back with you Monday at 3. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. And stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show is next.
Hello, it is I, your J.B. Welch strength coach. It's time to flex those home runs.